Good news, everyone!
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the limb.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention to me.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? Back from California. Here I am, or as the wife and I called it, Calabama or Texifornia, because we were not in Los Angeles or San Francisco. We were in this little area called Santa Maria, which is apparently the southeast of California.
It
was country boys and hats and cattle and slang and talk. But anyway, I'm back. Hopefully my throat's okay because it kind of got tore up. California's okay. Not that great. But what is great is getting to week 7 waivers, as you know, like California, like, okay, what? I don't like having to wake up and be like, oh, it's 50 degrees outside, but it's going to get to 80, and now I need to change clothes for the night, and it's 50 degrees again. Like, everybody always talks about the weather. Like, come on. Like, it's like, I don't want two sets of clothes throughout the entire day. But anyway,
that's what happens in Florida too. Like, it'll get
It doesn't. You need shorts and shirts for like 99% of the year, and then like
99%
one day
of the year. Yes, it's not one day. It's like about 2 months that you know you get a little. You know, it goes down to 58, 60 at night. So it's like a nice little hoodie, maybe some leggings or something, and then it gets to 80. Then in during the day, like I understand this life. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart.
I don't understand the California life. Oh, and I hated the time change, by the way. That is abysmal.
That's rough. Everybody's yeah.
It's like sports are done by 8 p.m. Like, no, that's worse. It's because then you spend the middle of your day and, like, your wife, you know, they can do all this. Like, now here on the East Coast, sports are over at midnight because you do stuff during the day. You come home, actually, you know, talking Sunday and Monday night football, and you come home and at night you get to watch. Over there, it's like, oh, everything's done in the middle of the day. It's 8 p.m. What are you going to go do? Stuff, but you could have done stuff during the day. Anyway, I'm complaining about California too much. Anyway, I'm never moving to California, as you can tell. Sorry, people of California.
I want to complain about week 6 and all of the injuries, and then now
see, that's what I didn't want to talk about.
Yeah, it's bad. Everyone's
I know.
Stink. You go out of town for one weekend, and football is terrible. The food tasted bland. Everyone got hurt. And now we have 6 teams on a bye. This is not a fun conversation we are going to have today, but someone's got to do it, Jake.
Well, there are plenty that we can, as you can see, for everybody that it doesn't, only Lauren does. Actually, Lauren and Fox, the great producer we have, there's situation.
I was reading that just laughing. Like, yeah, we got a lot of situations going on.
I know. It's like Jersey Shore over here. We're talking about the situation this week. If everybody remembers that from back in the day, did that come back for like the fourth time? We are going to talk football. Sorry. We're going to let you know. I understand your pain, by the way, for everybody out there. For the now 5th out of 6 weeks, I've had somebody get hurt, Deebo Samuel, which got me a big fat 1 point in my league. Ew. And then on top of it, to top it all off, Lauren, and I feel bad for everybody who tweeted me and the same thing happened to you. I was going to lose because I also faced a top 2 scorer for the 6th straight. All 6 weeks, I faced a top 2 scorer. I have over 900 points scored against me. The next closest team is 70 points behind. I'm getting destroyed. Like, everybody's showing up to face Jake this year. But on top of it, I lost the median because we played double headers on that Herbert interception at the end of the game.
Oh, no.
Yes. So that's I feel
it was
everybody's
rough
pain.
For you.
It was rough for me. But rough. Yes, I am you. Ruff is the 49ers and trying to figure out. Christian McCaffrey, we don't have news. He was going for the MRI to see the severity. So as of right now, Tuesday morning, we will be back normally Wednesday morning or tomorrow with meeting for ranks and then back to the norm on Monday next week. It was just the traveling back, which the overnight red eye and all that type of stuff. But anyway, we now have the conundrum, but a good we're starting off good. This is a good conundrum because it's Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason because I honestly think they're both going to be usable. But from the talk we heard yesterday, there was a couple beat reporters that tweeted it out. And then from what we've seen in the past, I do still think it's Mitchell. I think Mitchell has been eased back in and Mason's looked good. But that's why I say this isn't necessarily a good thing. If you picked up Mason, you can still use him as an RB3. I would compare this to last week Dolphins. Now, Mostert being Mitchell, do I think Mitchell's going to score 3 touchdowns? I mean, I would hope so. But I think that Ahmed is what we see from Jordan Mason is that you can use him as an RB3. Hell, because it's by McGinnon, as you said, by apocalypse, whatever you want to call it, he actually might be an RB2 just because of who he plays for.
Exactly. And that's going to be the biggest problem with our waiver wire situation and all the injuries is that we do have these next 6 weeks coming out on a bye. And I do agree with you. I think that once they have a week to game plan Elijah Mitchell into the game script, I think we're going to see a little bit more of Elijah Mitchell than we will Jordan Mason, but both of them are going to be usable because it takes like 10 and a half people to create one Christian McCaffrey. So they are going to use both Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell. So I do like both of those options on the waiver wire.
I do too. But to go back to the bye thing again real quick, can all NFL fans everywhere, I'll start it. Like, can we get the petition to get the commish to stop?
Yeah, let's go.
Month?
I'll sign.
4 times 8 byes. Very simple. There's no reason to have this 16 bye when we had 2 last week. And do you know how many we have next week?
Oh,
0.
Oh, wait,
0.
No. Which week do we have like 7 or 8 coming up?
We'll never have 7 because then what would we do with the odd game? You know, like something out there. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't math, clearly, everybody.
No, you don't math. No, week 7, we have 6. And then week 9, we have 4. And week 10, like as I'm clicking through this, as you can tell, week 10, we have 4, which is what it should be. 8 weeks of 4. 4 and 11. Look, 4, 4, 4, 4, nothing. And I think that's, is that 2 and 14? We get that wonderful 2 and 14. And then 6 again in 12. That might be what you're thinking.
I remember what I was, I thought I said, I was going to try to say in week 7. Do we have 8? But that's next week. This is this coming week. So
this,
I still
this coming
out.
Week 6.
But I knew what I was doing.
And I don't know that we've ever had 8, by the way. I don't know if that's ever been a thing. But let's continue. So
I don't know. It's a good thing. I should Google that. Someone Google that and let me know.
The Bears situation is another one. Roshon Johnson, concussion. Last week we had Deonta Foreman, who, 15 for, what was it, 85, 65, 75?
Everything
was
meh.
It was something 5, 65 maybe? I don't know. That sounds more right for what Deonta Foreman did. It was an okay day, but now we have Roshon Johnson coming back. Here's the interesting thing, Lauren. Roshon Johnson, I talked about this with Pat on his show yesterday. I have from our very own Zach Jackson over at The Athletic, and I asked him, this is before Khalil Herbert got hurt. And I was like, this is Khalil Herbert's job, right? Like, this is now this is back and forth and back and forth, but this is a great week, and then this is right before the game he got hurt. It's like, is Roshon Johnson ever going to really cut into him? Or is it just going to be like, you know, this is the Khalil Herbert show? And he said they like Roshon Johnson. And this is what he said at the time. He said he would expect more of Johnson once it gets colder, as in they go a little bit more run heavy and they need a little bit more Roshon Johnson. So it was Herbert's job, according to him, according to the reports. The reason I bring that up is to say, is it Deonta Foreman's job? Like, Roshon Johnson was the one they drafted. He has a great upside, but is there a world where Roshon Johnson's not the better option as Deonta Foreman, and Roshon Johnson stays in his one-third of the opportunities role? Like, where, put it this way, we're not doing the rank show. If you had to pick Deonta Foreman or Roshon Johnson this week, which would you pick? I would still go Roshon Johnson on the upside, but I think there's a real floor of 2 points with him.
And I was going to have to do that depends situation, but I do agree with you. If you're going to need some safety, I would go with Deonta Foreman, but I like Roshon Johnson's upside as well. So that's kind of, but it's meh. It's so meh.
Oh, this is like, I have a meh section of my waivers. It's just like the entire waivers this week should have just been meh, like all of them. And the interesting thing, this, I should have got the whiteboard out. We need like a flow chart. Because here's where we're, like, this is the next team. Like, once we get to the bottom, you'll see what I'm talking about. So we have the Dolphins, Jeff Wilson, maybe finally activated because of what's going on over there. Like, maybe. And if so, Jeff Wilson's the number 2 and has that similar value to a Jordan Mason, but we don't know. We're speculating. And then if he's not, it's still Savon Ahmed for another week. Is that RB3 as we just saw? So skipping right past the Rams, the Lions situation with David Montgomery is out for a couple weeks, 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, it's very mysterious. I know. I was so excited. Yeah, David Montgomery is a top 5 running back. How could you not? Montgomery and Mostert, top 5 running backs until they got
there. But, hey, circa, what, like 2018?
I know. This is insane. So if Jahmyr Gibbs is back, let's play this role. Craig Reynolds, would you pick up Craig Reynolds or Jordan Mason or Savon Ahmed? Now, see, this is what I'm talking about, because it's the Savon Ahmed if there's no Jeff Wilson. Actually, just throw Jeff Wilson into this. Would you prefer Craig Reynolds to any of them is the question.
No. No, I won't.
Okay.
And if Jahmyr Gibbs is back, then
that's
no.
What
yeah,
if Gibbs
so
is out,
confusing. It gives me an out. But if Jahmyr Gibbs is not back, I have to go for Craig Reynolds, and I don't like it. It sucks.
Well, then So here's how we go. Would you go Craig Reynolds or Roshon Johnson to bring him into the mix?
Oh, that's a really good one. I think I'll go Roshon Johnson.
It's we've seen Craig Reynolds. It's Craig Reynolds. Here's what this comparison I made for waivers, and I think you'll agree with this. Craig Reynolds is if you want last week's Deonta Foreman. Do you want RB24?
Yeah.
You play Craig Reynolds.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Like, what's the real upside here? Like, maybe he falls into the end zone, of course, then he'll finish as an RB1.
Correct.
But, like, production-wise, you said, meh. I feel Craig Reynolds is going to put out some, meh, numbers. Cool. Fine. A floor guy. If you don't want to risk, as you said, if you don't want to risk a zero, if you don't want to risk not even used or maybe gets one or two, then Craig Reynolds. But if I'm going for upside, Roschon Johnson, Elijah Mitchell, here's the one. Would you go Jordan Mason? Or would you go Craig Reynolds?
I hate this because I'd go Elijah Mitchell. But if it's Jordan Mason and Craig Reynolds with no Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm going to go Craig Reynolds.
See, this is, that's why I said you need the flow chart. If and then.
It is if then that. Like I need a smart device to tell me what's going on right now.
This feels like when we were going through her aunt's 80th. You were telling me about like all the family members on both sides because of course there's like some split marriages and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're like mm-hmm. going through all the aunts. I was like, you don't even have a family tree. You have a family spaghetti. Like that's
it is,
like
yeah.
It's just all over the damn place. All right, so let's bring in another one. Kareem Hunt.
I know. Now, why is this a thing again? I guess we need it.
Because he only got about a third of the touches, but he did get the touchdown. It was still Jerome Ford's job. Jerome Ford is still out there as the clear lead. It was just a game where Hunt had the touchdown, and at times, you could argue this, but like whatever your perception might be of the game, like Hunt looked good at times. Jerome Ford struggled, looked good at times, but he had the back and forth. Hunt just overall looked pretty good on what he did. Do you think this is becoming more of a threat where now let's throw Kareem Hunt in the mix? Here's how I'll throw Kareem Hunt in the mix. Hold on. I'll give you this.
Okay.
Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason together. Roschon Johnson's back. So you have Roschon Johnson and Deonta Foreman. The Dolphins, you know. The Rams, we are going to touch on in a second. Craig Reynolds plays with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay.
And then you have Hunt. So where would you put Hunt? Hunt over Reynolds? Hunt over Ahmed because Jeff Wilson's back?
Yes.
Okay. Hunt over Deonta Foreman. See? Here, let's see if you agree with Mr. Scampers. How about this one? Mitchell, right. Roschon Johnson, Kareem Hunt, Jeff Wilson, Craig Reynolds, Jordan Mason, death.
That's pretty darn close, Mr. Scampers. I'm right there with you.
I would actually put Craig Reynolds behind Mason. And
I should have worn my other. I had a skeleton like sunglasses. I should have worn those instead of my super crazy Halloween headband because that's how I feel today about week 6. So I literally should have worn them. What was I thinking?
This happens like once a year. You know this. We've always talked about the flow chart every single year. One week, this is when it happens.
If this, we have, then that, then this.
Yes, because we have all these returning players and injuries, and then injuries we don't know about just yet. Right. And all this. So I'm higher on Mason. Because it's the 49ers, it's very similar to Jeff Wilson / Ahmed, whoever's the number two for the Dolphins. The number two is playable. The number two is in the mix. So I would like Jordan Mason. Let's go back up because the one we skipped past is also the Los Angeles Rams, who we don't know anything about. Roddy Rivers is the one thing we do know is officially out exactly like it's. I mean, it might be the rest of the season, it's 6 to 8 weeks. He might be done. But the interesting thing is we don't know about Kyren Williams right now.
I've heard conflicting reports, too. I've heard, like, well, we're not really sure to, oh, it's really not that bad, that we're just kind of being precautious. It was very strange.
Precautionary.
Yeah. See, this is what this week has done to me. I'm kerfuffled. I don't like it. They were being cautionary or precautionary. I don't even know. Now I'm confused. So the whole thing makes me confused, and I don't like it. Please play Kyren Williams. I need you in my life.
So let's see. We have report. Oh, wow. Christian McCaffrey. The 49ers are hopeful Christian McCaffrey would play. So I know. This is insane. All right. So we do have, like, I'm checking right now. So I was pulling through on The Athletic because the Slack channel. So we got the Christian McCaffrey likely hopeful. Yeah, whatever you want to put that into words.
Oh, yeah.
Likely hopeful to play in week 7. Going back to that.
Look hopeful.
No. Here's the interesting thing. Let's say Christian McCaffrey somehow makes it out there in week 7. That's iffy. The question is Elijah Mitchell your number two? Would you roll Elijah Mitchell, or do you think they stick with Jordan Mason for another week? Because that's, I would still take the chance on Mitchell. I'd take the chance on Mitchell as Jonathan Taylor. He's working up. Not, obviously, Jonathan Taylor is a top 10 running back, but he's working.
Well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I agree with you. I do like Elijah Mitchell in this offense slightly as better than Jordan Mason. Yes.
Okay. Then, so ESPN, Sarah Barshop, I was seeing if Jordan Rodriguez had anything on the Rams. She will at some point. Zach Evans likely, in quotes, likely to be the Rams starting running back. There's also Royce Freeman behind him. They're talking already. You've seen floated rumors
that
they'll bring.
He's still in the league?
Yeah, I know. He was on the practice squad the entire time. Oh. We do have Daryl Henderson, who might come back to the team. I know.
Hey,
so,
okay.
Let's play the world. Where there's no Kyron Williams in week 7. Okay. Zach Evans versus. So instead of just throwing out all the names, because everybody listening or watching is probably at this point like, I've thrown out my flowchart. I have too many crosses
and lines.
Yeah,
I know, just burn
it.
That's
so
where
let's,
I'm at,
let's
everybody.
Play versus. Here, we're going to play versus.
Okay, this is
Zach Evans.
I can handle this.
Zach Evans with no Kyron Williams. Okay? Now, okay. Zach Evans, by the way, couldn't get past Ronnie Rivers. Everybody likes the rookie of talent, but he couldn't get Pat. I mean, just throw that out there for everybody.
He's going to have to get past Ronnie Rivers now.
He's gonna, fine now, but I just throw it out. Just like wouldn't expect too much potentially, but this is the one good thing about Sean McVay. He's like Mike Tomlin. He likes a bell cow. Actually, Sean McVay has been more bell cowy than Mike Tomlin has been with the Jalen Warren situation. But anyway,
okay, that's true.
Zach Evans versus Mitchell with Christian McCaffrey. Who would you go with?
Elijah Mitchell.
Over Zach Evans?
Yes.
Okay. Roschon Johnson versus Zach Evans?
Roschon Johnson.
Okay. Zach Evans versus Jeff Wilson, if he comes back?
Zach Evans.
Okay. Zach Evans versus Craig Reynolds with no Jahmyr Gibbs?
Ooh! Craig Reynolds.
Really?
On the touchdown upside.
Okay. I can see that. I can see your argument. Yeah, okay. Zach Evans
against the Ravens. That's really gnarly.
Well, now we have to circle back. Zach yeah. Evans versus Jordan Mason if there is no Christian McCaffrey.
Zach Evans. Hey, with no conviction. Zach Evans.
Zach Evans versus Savon Ahmed if Jeff Wilson doesn't come back.
Savon Ahmed.
Zach Evans versus Craig Reynolds if Jahmyr Gibbs plays.
I'm sweating over Zach, here. I got to take my hoodie
Zach
off.
Zach Evans. Ugh. I mean, I already know the answer to that one. I would like to put it this way. For 1 week and 1 week only, we're having a sale. No, 1 week, 1 week only.
What am I buying?
I would say Zach Evans for me over everybody in that list, unless Christian McCaffrey is out. Just because.
I don't hate it. I don't hate that.
It's similar to the Craig Reynolds situation. It's just like, you're not the foreman. Like, I know you might get 15 for 65 or whatever the number ended up being. I know you might be like a RB20. But that almost feels like a floor because of the volume and the team that he plays for. Very similar to Craig Reynolds. And I'm hoping for a little bit more passing game upside for Zach Evans versus Craig Reynolds. But again, the worst part about this is very similar to a Jordan Mason if Christian McCaffrey does play. Like, some of these options might be 1 week and you're done. Like, Deonta Foreman, that might have been it. Basically, Zach Evans, Craig Reynolds fall into whatever your league bid on last week for Deonta Foreman, whatever your league did on waivers and anything, that's how I would compare those two. They might be 1 week and done, and that might be all you get from them.
Yeah, and I see where you're coming from. I think that I would put some of those other options ahead of Zach Evans in those particular situations.
I know,
I think
it's a
they might
chart.
Have a slightly better opportunity for upside as opposed to Zach Evans. But I think the floor is going to be there for Zach Evans no matter what. But if I need some upside, I think I would choose some other players in those specific circumstances.
Well, and the reason I want to go too crazy is what we just saw last week with Amari DeMarcado, is that Damian Williams got activated, played over. Well, no, let me rephrase that. He actually didn't play over. DeMarcado actually led the team in snaps, crazy enough. Ingram just led in touches, and then Damian Williams had more than DeMarcado. So that went straight out the window. And the speculation here is Royce Freeman comes in and mucks things up. But
yeah, he could.
How about mucking things up? Let's talk about some worries. Yeah. Right off the bat, this one was, you want to talk about kerfuffle. And like, I will say the other problem with the West Coast, and this has nothing to do with the West Coast specifically. It just has to do with YouTube TV. YouTube TV, you can do the quad box on TVs. You can't do it on your laptop or your phone. The laptop part pissed me. Yeah, the laptop part pissed me off. Like, at least direct YouTube TV, unless I'm wrong, I haven't Google searched it, and I could have found, like, people were saying the same thing on Google. It's like, you can't do it. You can only do it on the TV. So maybe somebody out there knows, outside of opening multiple browsers and then making your computer crash, because I tried that too. And I think that's the only way you could do it, but then your computer's like, I can't handle this. And then it's, so anyway.
CPU.
That's how the computer talks to me, in case you didn't know. As I was trying to watch, and I was like circulating through the through the games, and so I wasn't able to watch like normally with the two quad boxes and kind of keep my focus on all of them. So I was checking in and out of some of the ones. The Houston Texans one was frustrating because Dameon Pierce just last week, 100% of the touches, not 99, not what, there was one target that went to Devin Singletary he didn't catch, 100% of the touches to Dameon Pierce. What happens in week six? 48.1 touches Dameon Pierce to Devin Singletary. Let's make it worse. D'Amico Ryans comes out and says, and he calls them nicknames. Actually, I just put down the quote. I was even like, who is he talking about? So he calls Dameon Pierce a DP, but Devin Singletary is motor. So he said our run game was better. It was a complimentary back and forth between DP and motor. DP had elite finishes. Motor had some nice runs. Going to continue to balance both guys out. That doesn't sound like slam our heads against the wall, how worried are you?
And that was really the only thing that Dameon Pierce had going for him was going to be the volume. And yeah, that was it. But if there is no volume, there is no Dameon Pierce. And I think he might be at least my biggest bust for this season is Dameon Pierce. And I'm heartbroken because anyone who's listened to the show knows how much I love Dameon Pierce.
I had, look, one of my bold calls was that Dameon Pierce was going to be a top 15 running back because of volume alone.
Yeah, we all did.
And the volume was checking out. Like, I know there's a lot. Like, I said it on the CBS show where they asked what my bold call was. Like, give me one. Or like, and Dave Richard loved it. Dave Richard's like, you know, I can see RB1. Like, it was a volume play. Like, Devin Singletary is Devin Singletary. And that's how it was playing out. And then all of a sudden, boom, switch. I give it 3.5 ducks, three ducks and an egg. I think it could be not the end of the world, but it's close. It's getting close. There is one player. We have another Infinity Duck this week, Lauren.
Ooh.
It goes to a quarterback. You know? You saw?
No. Actually, okay. I don't know who it is, but...
West Coast. And take a guess. West Coast quarterback.
Is it Air Bear?
No, it is not Air Bear.
No, it's not Air Bear.
Go north.
North. I don't know.
Russell's got it.
he's the other direction.
That's like northeast. Is Denver north of Los Angeles? I mean, I think
there's a couple quarterbacks that but that was this week though. So this weekend for me.
Oh no, this is for the entire season. Geno Smith.
Trash. So like all of them are. Oh, gotcha. Oh, see, like that was my brain went Seahawks and then said Russell Wilson.
Do you know any games? So do you know any games Geno has?
Seahawks.
Do you have any games that Geno Smith has 14 or more points?
Zero.
One,
okay.
Geno Smith, I gave him the Infinity Duck, Lauren, because I'll put it out this way. This is how concerned I am. A single quarterback, obvious. Yeah, Superflex, you're kind of stuck. But to the point being, actually, Superflex, you could do what I'm about to say. If Aiden O'Connell is announced as the starter for the Raiders and not Brian Hoyer, I would swap the upside of Geno Smith for Aiden O'Connell, even if it's a one-week play. Again, Superflex, you probably don't want to drop Geno Smith, but that's how concerned I am with how Geno's playing this year. That one-year wonder worry that everybody had, it's certainly looking to be true as of right now.
Yeah, he only had 110 passing yards against the Giants in week 4. That's gross.
Oh, I had Geno as a top 12. Top 10 quarterback that week.
Yuck. I don't hate that play, dude. Ugh. Sorry, I'm just having moments here looking at all these numbers and I'm like, oh, I can't. This is
what'd you hear?
What?
The number one quarterback under pressure on QB rating right now is Baker Mayfield. Would you swap Geno Smith for Baker Mayfield?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
How do we this is where we are.
I would.
Would you drop Geno Smith for Josh Dobbs?
Yeah. I can't throw, though. That's really gross.
What about Russell Wilson and his 2 yards per attempt?
No, I don't know if I could.
Yeah, I don't think I would go that far either. Here's the other thing. So I wanted to tie the speaking of worries. I'm going to the Denver Broncos because Jerry Jeudy is becoming a problem for fantasy purposes, but not in a good way. because he's not doing anything. And then he get pulled off the field because we're talking trades right now. If he's stuck with the Broncos, I gave him four ducks. If he's traded, I gave him two because I still don't know that. Put it this way. Watching Judy out there, and this has nothing to do with Steve Smith, who's just a salty, angry man. He just loves to hate on everybody. Just like I said this on Pat's show yesterday. I don't know if it's because he thinks he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame or whatever. Like, he's just angry. He hates everybody. He can be a jerk. Like, let's be honest. He can be a jerk. I can be a jerk. Pat Mayo can be a jerk. But he's like super jerk. He like hates to hate. He loves to hate people. He loves to hate on people. And they, like, maybe it's a shtick and some people enjoy it. I don't sometimes. Anyway, sorry for that sidebar, Steve.
That was the diatribe.
I loved him when he was playing. He just became so salty when he stopped. He went off about Jerry Jeudy, talking about how he's kind of lazy and all this type of stuff.
Just a guy.
Yep. So maybe he gets traded to a Jags. Jerry Jeudy, if he's on the Broncos, four ducks. If he's on another team, two, because I think there is some hope, but I do think there is some validity. How worried are you about Jerry Jeudy?
I'm pretty worried. I'm in the same boat as you. I wish I could have some further insight, but I don't. These days with the Broncos, I'm out on Jerry Jeudy, but let's just hope he gets traded just for his own fantasy value and also for his own production. Like, go to a good team, young man. Like, he deserves it.
Well, then here's the question follow up to that. If he's traded and you roster Jerry Jeudy, do you immediately sell high? Because I do. Because I don't know that the trade is going to...
I would. Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be landing spot dependent. I mean, there might be a landing spot that doesn't appeal. He gets buried. But for the streaming quarterbacks, by the way, there's one answer that's been out there the entire year. So if you're in a league that Sam Howell's still sitting out there, correct yourself and do what we should have said. Like what we said at the beginning of the year, we said just draft him as your second quarterback.
Yes.
Somehow Sam Howell's still not 60% rostered. For this week and this week only, I have Howell, Mayfield, O'Connell right now, if he's the guy. Russ, Dobbs, Derek, Minshew at the bottom. Minshew, who thought he still played for the Jaguars. I don't know what was going on with that. But if I had to pick, I can't believe I'm about to say this. If I had to pick one going forward, I would roll with Baker. Actually, you know what? I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm happy for him.
I'm trying to dissect what you're saying.
I've felt bad for him ever since his third year in like the football. Like once the hype started in year one, fell off year two, the hate really started to come in year three. And I said he was a victim of circumstance. Is his hype coming out of college, his hype created from his play, it is his rookie season, and he's not great. He's not terrible. He's middle of the road, and that can be fine. You can be a middle of the road quarterback, and I felt bad for him as a person. But that being said, now we're at the point where fantasy, that I never wanted him in fantasy still, but now you can say he's startable in fantasy. All right, before we get out of here, some wide receivers real quick. Quentin Johnston, I've been saying this the entire year, just like Marvin Mims, just like Jonathan Mingo, just like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, stash, do not drop if you cannot drop. But if you have to, we are now 16 buys. And injuries, if you have to, they're all droppable, just like Cam Akers. Like, I thought 40% of this work last week, and then, or 2 weeks ago, and then almost not involved this past week without Justin Jefferson. I know. I thought they might go a little bit more run heavy, might split it up a little bit more. Again, I don't want to drop Cam Akers because if Alexander Mattison gets hurt in week seven, boom, you're going right back to Cam Akers. But point being is things are slim. You have to make cuts. Here's one I want to ask you before
we get
out of here.
It's okay to be desperate this week, folks. It's okay.
It is.
All of us are going to be desperate, so it's okay.
Do you say it's okay for people? Would you drop Romeo Doubs? I'm actually really surprised by this one. Romeo Doubs had 3 out of 4 great games. One really stinker. Christian Watson comes back. Still has a good game in Christian Watson's first game back. Second game back, non-existent. That's what everybody's ticked off about. And then they had the bye. And I saw a lot of people was like, I'm dropping him. I'm not waiting through the bye. And I'm like, dude, you just had like 3 good games. Like, and they're like, well, Christian Watson's back is done. Jordan Love is playing like trash all of a sudden, which we knew Jordan Love was going to come back to earth. We knew that. The touchdown rate was absurd. But all that being said is, like, we're still talking about a starting 1 and 2 wide receiver on a team. Like, I'm not dropping Dobbs. Like, do I want to possibly bench him in week 7 to see what happens? Sure. But would you drop Dobbs? One is the first question. Straight out. Okay. Would you drop Dobbs, though, if you could go pick up Rashee Rice?
Oh, that's a good one. No. I'm sticking with Dobbs. I have Rashee Rice on a lot of leagues. And I think that's about as close as we're going to get to a favorite target outside of Travis Kelce. I still don't believe in it. But I do believe in Romeo Dobbs, and I do know what he can bring to the table. So I am sticking with Romeo Dobbs even over Rashee Rice, who I have in a lot of leagues.
Would you drop Romeo Dobbs for who is the best Commanders wide receiver that nobody saw happening again, Curtis Samuel?
Curtis Samuel, no. I'm sticking with Romeo Dobbs.
Last one, the upside of Jameson Williams or Romeo Dobbs, because Jameson Williams was still in the Marvin Mims conversation of, like, what was it, 13 routes? Is barely out there, but he got the big play. It's the upside of that. What if he starts working his way up the depth chart? I'm sticking with Dobbs, but I'm just throwing out the argument.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out an argument as well, because I am also sticking with Dobbs. But instead, I just want to add a little bit to this. If you don't have to start Romeo Dobbs and you have a little bit of wiggle room on your team, I actually would say go for Jameson Williams. He looked really good in his route running. He was very precise, had some excellent cuts. He got himself open. I think he's working himself, as I like to say, getting his NFL legs underneath him. I think he's going to be a pretty high upside dude later down in the season. But if you cannot afford to do that, I completely understand you're going to have to stick with Romeo Dobbs. But I think you could just say get his NFL legs.
Underneath him, where else were they be?
Like, because it's like getting your sea legs underneath you, right? Like,
you can just get your sea legs. You don't have to get them underneath you. I don't put my legs on my shoulders.
I'm combining that to like get actually
your NFL legs on your back
underneath you. Yeah, it's like it's a phrase. Maybe it's a St. Louis thing. I don't know, but it's a phrase I've always used.
It's redundant.
Parents have used. Get your legs underneath you. Like, quit tripping. Quit falling over. Get your legs underneath you.
Well, if you're picking up what Lauren is putting down, and you're smelling what she's stepping in. We'll be back tomorrow for Ranks with Chris Meaney at Stepmom Lauren. I'm at All Kid. We were back to the normal schedule, and we'll see you soon because we'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully my throat will be better.